Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. What might we see beyond the remarkable legacy of Major League Baseball's first black player, Jackie Robinson? How did Jackie Robinson, inspired by his Christian faith, help smash racial barriers not only in baseball, but also in politics, business, religion, and society? Dr. Gary Scott Smith, in his book, Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson, published in 2022, says Robinson arguably did more to improve American society after retiring from baseball than any other athlete. Gary Scott Smith joins us today from North Carolina. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program. Well, the heart of it is, dear friend, to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who knows you and loves you. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins, John 3:16 and Romans 5:8. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Gary Scott Smith, reaches out to you. Will you turn to Jesus? Will you turn to Jesus? Turn from your way to God's way? That's called repentance. And that's our prayer. And dear one, if you already know the Lord, hey, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be inspired today. I really believe that. Dr. Gary Scott Smith is Professor of History Emeritus at Grove City College. He's also an ordained Presbyterian minister who serves as a parish associate and the director of the mission program at St. Andrew's Covenant Presbyterian Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. He taught at Grove City College in Western Pennsylvania from 1978 to 2017, where he chaired the history department. He earned his MDiv at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary and his PhD in history at Johns Hopkins University. Gary, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Gary, how does strength to fight, strength for the fight, differ from existing books about Jackie Robinson?
Well, there have been more books written about Jackie Robinson than any other baseball player except Babe Ruth. So it's a challenging field to enter into. However, only two other books have really addressed his faith, both of which were written in 2017, one by a journalist and one by a combination of a journalism professor and a peace studies professor. And those are both good books, but I don't think they got the story entirely right in describing the nature of Robinson's faith. And one of those two books focused almost exclusively on Robinson's baseball career, saying almost nothing about his civil rights activism, whereas the other book focused almost entirely on his civil rights activism and said very little about his baseball career, reducing it to only a single chapter. So my book is unique, I think, in blending those two parts of Robinson's life together, trying to do justice to both of them, to his baseball career, as well as, of course, his life before baseball, and as well as his life after baseball, which includes business activities, civil rights activism, political activism, a host of ways that he tried to and did effectively influence American society.
1947 was a big year. Why was his integration of Major League Baseball in 1947 arguably most significant, even in modern, the most significant event in modern American sports?
Well, I would even go beyond that and say that it was one of the more significant events in the whole history of civil rights in American society. We need to keep in mind that this occurred before Martin Luther King Jr. came on the scene. It occurred before Rosa Parks and the Montgomery bus boycott. It occurred before Thurgood Marshall was put on the Supreme Court. It occurred before what we call the modern civil rights movement that really begins in the mid-1950s and goes through roughly the 1970s. So in many ways, Robinson is a precursor of those later events. In fact, Martin Luther King Jr. gives a lot of credit to Jackie Robinson, saying in essence, I'm not sure I could have done what I did without what he earlier did. So I argue in the book, and I try to situate Jack Robinson's contributions within the history of Major League Baseball, arguing that Major League Baseball in the 1940s was by far the most important American sport. And the National Football League had been around since 1920, but really doesn't achieve a great deal of popularity until after the 1960s. You had the NBA had been around for just a few years. Well, it basically started about the time that Robinson integrated Major League Baseball. You know, hockey wasn't that big of a sport. So if you look at the four main, what we consider the four main North American sports at this time, baseball by far had the largest in-person audience, the largest radio audience, would soon have the largest TV audience. So baseball was deeply integrated into American culture and life and was the quintessential American sport. And so the integration of Major League Baseball was very, very important given baseball's significance in American society. And its integration helps pave the way for the integration of the other sports, particularly basketball and football.
You write, as I've always enjoyed your writing, Gary, with such texture and depth and thoroughness, leaving no stone unturned. And in this way, when you talk about the breadth of Jackie Robinson's influence, you also touched on his influence on Native Americans, Latinos, and Asians. In what ways does the story of Robinson involve that, involve the Native Americans, the Latinos, and Asians?
Well, the story of Robinson's integration of Major League Baseball has often been rather simplistically told as simply involving blacks and whites, an African American integrating Major League Baseball. But in reality, the story is much more complicated. As I detail in the book, there were Native Americans, most famously Jim Thorpe, but others who had more significant baseball accomplishments than he did, who played in the two decades before Robinson came on the scene. There were also quite a number of Latinos who played, usually lighter skinned ones, often from Cuba and other Caribbean islands. And they helped pave the way for Robinson in some regards, but his success then opens the way for a flood of Latinos and Latino Americans to play the game beginning in the 1950s. And most of them prior to that time played in the Negro League along with blacks. So his success open doors to them as well. There were occasional Asian players and Asian American players who played in the first half of the 20th century. But again, that's been a much more recent development. So basically, baseball has broadened into a sport where you have people of different races and ethnicities playing, and now people from larger numbers of countries who are playing. And I think Robinson opened the door for all of those folks to be able to participate more fully. But as I talk about in the book, some of them also helped pave the way for him to play.
You're listening to Dr. Gary Scott Smith. He is the author of the new book, Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson. Dr. Gary Scott Smith is a prolific writing, prolific author, Duty and Destiny, The Life and Faith of Winston Churchill in 2021. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from him. Why was Jackie Robinson's Christian faith, a factor in the decision the Dodgers manager Branch Rickey made to choose him? You'll hear from Gary Scott Smith. To answer that question, you'll hear from him and more. Find out more about the book at Amazon.com. Again, Amazon.com. More with Gary Scott Smith when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Dr. Gary Scott Smith's new book, Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson. He says Robinson arguably did more to improve American society after retiring from baseball than any other athlete. Gary Scott Smith joins us today from North Carolina. You can find out more about the book, get a hold of it, buy it for a family member or friend, go to Amazon.com. And if you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to drdanny.live. It's a gift to you. But I would say share it with a family member or friend. Gary, why was Jackie Robinson's Christian faith a factor in the decision that Branch Rickey, the Dodgers manager, used to choose Jackie Robinson?
Well, Branch Rickey, who actually was the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, but he, like Jackie Robinson, was a Methodist, and his faith was deep and meaningful to him. Had been since he'd been a teenager. He had played Major League Baseball briefly. He had managed the St. Louis Browns and the St. Louis Cardinals before becoming the GM of the Cardinals and then eventually moving on to Brooklyn. He was always very deeply involved in churches. He helped found the Fellowship of Christian Athletes shortly after he retired from Major League Baseball. He was perhaps as well known as anyone in the game in the first half of the 20th century for his faith in Christ. He spoke about it repeatedly in every context possible. And he said that he felt called of God to help integrate Major League Baseball. And he promised that he would do it if he had the opportunity. There were a lot of other people that behind the scenes played a role in this integration. And I detail them in the book, everything from black sports writers to Jewish rabbis, Christian ministers, members of the Communist Party, white journalists, particularly some Jewish journalists, labor union folks. It's a real scorecard of players who play a role in this happening. But anyway, so Branch Rickey is feeling called by God to integrate the game, and he's looking for the right person to do it. And he considers a wide variety of different potential candidates, some of whom were, again, Latinos, darker-skinned Latinos. He considered some other Negro League stars like Satchel Paige, however, age was a factor in many cases. Satchel Paige was probably at least 40 at this time. He will end up playing a little bit later in the majors after Jackie breaks the color barrier. So in looking around for the right person to do this, Branch Rickey recognizes that whoever does it is going to encounter a lot of racism, a lot of taunting, maybe even death threats, as Jackie Robinson did experience. This person is going to be called every name under the sun. He's going to be called racial epithets. He's going to be mocked and criticized and ridiculed in every way possible by opposing players, by fans who didn't like the idea of doing this, who were racist. And so he's convinced that you got to have the right temperament, got to have the right background to do it. So he looks to Jackie Robinson, recognizing that he had played football at UCLA, played four sports at UCLA, but primarily stood out in football. And there he had played against whites and had an experience and track record of being able to play effectively against them before large white audiences. He also was impressed by Jackie Robinson's military career, which I detail in the book. But he's particularly impressed by Jackie Robinson's Christian faith. He recognizes that Jackie Robinson grew up like he did as a Methodist. In Jackie Robinson's case, it was the Methodist Church, the larger white denomination that Jackie Robinson grew up in, albeit a black congregation in Pasadena, California. And so he recognizes that, and he has this famous meeting that takes place around the time of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that this two-hour meeting that between them, in which he pulls out a copy of an Italian author named Papini's Life of Christ, and basically talks about the idea of turning the other cheek. And he says, you know, whoever does this will not be able to fight back verbally or physically. This person is just going to have to take what is dished out to him, at least initially. And he asked Jackie Robinson, can you do that? And Jackie Robinson, who is very conversant with scripture, says, well, I've got two cheeks. So yes, I can turn the other cheek and put up with this for, he promises to do it for 2 to 3 years, which essentially he does. So they bond over their Christian faith. If our listeners have seen the movie 42 on the Jackie Robinson's spring training and the first year of his Major League Baseball career, they might remember a conversation that is featured in the movie, which undoubtedly never took place, but it captures the essence of their relationship, where Harrison Ford, playing Branch Rickey, says, I'm a Methodist, you're a Methodist, God's a Methodist, and so we're going to get along just fine here. So anyway, long story short, that was the kind of connection that they had, and that their relationship over the years until Branch Rickey dies in 1965, will be kind of father, son, mentor, mentee. And a lot of it has to do with Branch Rickey encouraging Robinson in his faith and encouraging him to rely upon his faith as he engages in this arduous integration of Major League Baseball.
Gary, let's go a little bit further. Robinson's style, his style of expression as a Christian, how would you describe that, particularly compared to other athletes?
Yeah, I talk about in the preface how that Robinson's faith was not the same kind of faith that, say, a Clayton Kershaw, current pitcher for the Dodgers, or a Tim Tebow, who best known for his college football quarterbacking at Florida, but then brief career in the NFL. He didn't so much talk about his personal relationship with Jesus Christ and encourage other people to accept Christ as their savior. Robinson clearly had a personal relationship with Jesus that had been nourished and nurtured by his mother, by Branch Rickey, and by his pastor, Carl Downs, of the Methodist church he attended in Pasadena. He never had a definitive Christian conversion experience, but that's certainly true of a lot of our listeners today who grew up in a church family and in a church community and came to their faith gradually. Certainly the decisive point in Robinson's life was someone in his late teens, when Carl Downs, who was only 7 years older than him, arrives at the church, Scott Methodist Church in Pasadena, and goes looking for Jackie Robinson and helps, and his wife, Rachel, Robinson's wife, Rachel, used this term, rescue him from gang life. Jackie Robinson grew up in the Pepper Street gang, and they were a mischievous lot, not violent, but violating the law, stealing, creating a nuisance, things like that, often ending up at the police station. And Carl Downs gets him out of that kind of life and nurtures him in the faith and gets him involved in attending church and teaching Sunday school. And throughout his life, and Carl Downs died very young in 1948. But up until that point, he was a very strong presence in Jackie Robinson's life. So basically what I describe him as, he's a mainline Protestant Christian who worships in a Methodist church initially. And then when he goes to play for the Dodgers, he worships in what was then called a congregational church. Today would be United Church of Christ. When he goes and retires and he lives in Connecticut, he's part of a UCC church there. So mainline Protestantism is his background. But he's also very much interested in the social transformational aspects of the gospel. So he would resonate with passages like Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, with Jesus's keynote address in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus talks about what he's going to do in his ministry. And it's including healing the sick and liberating the captive and binding up people's wounds. So for Jackie Robinson, a lot of the gospel had to do with tearing down racial barriers, helping lift people out of poverty, all in the name of Christ, certainly. And he ended up, particularly after his baseball career, preaching fairly often in church services, morning and evening, speaking to religious assemblies, writing hundreds of what we would call op-ed opinion pieces, talking about racial issues, political issues, social issues. But again, often grounded in his faith and talking about how his faith informed him, inspired him, led him, and the importance of Christ's teachings on all these matters.
You're listening to Dr. Gary Scott Smith explaining why Jackie Robinson's style of expression as a Christian was useful for the calling that he had and the role that he played with Branch Rickey in the changing of society in a pivotal, formidable way. Dr. Gary Scott Smith, in his book, Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson, details these things that you are hearing and so much more in Gary Scott Smith fashion. When we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit more about the social gospel, how Jackie Robinson was attuned to that, and how that might even relate to some of the things that we face in our society today. Dr. Scott Smith has written A History of Christianity in Pittsburgh, Suffer the Children, What We Can Do to Improve the Lives of the World's Impoverished Children, that and more. Gary Scott Smith, Amazon.com. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
In 2001, Dr. Gary Scott Smith was named Pennsylvania Professor of the Year by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching and the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. Today, he's a prolific author. He has written Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson. He joins us today. Gary Scott Smith joins us today from North Carolina. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. You can find out more about his books. Get a hold of these books. Go to Amazon.com. Again, this is Gary Scott Smith that we're privileged to hear. So, Gary, before our break, you were talking about Jackie Robinson and his style of expression as a Christian compared to other athletes, and how useful that was, considering the role that he played even after he retired from baseball. You did mention the social gospel in one form or another. Explain what the social gospel is, what it was at that time, and let's talk a little bit about what that might mean for us today.
Well, the so-called heyday of the social gospel would have been between 1880 and 1925. So it's this massive movement of Christians, and some Jews also associated with it. More Protestants than Catholics, but certainly some Catholics as well, who were troubled by the problems brought in American society, primarily through industrialization, urbanization, immigration. American society was changing dramatically during these times, and poverty was extensive, particularly among newly arriving immigrants and African Americans who had been dealing with racism in the aftermath of the Civil War and the end of slavery. And so you have this coalition, if you will, of ministers and professors and social workers and lay people, literally people of all different walks of life, who come together through countless organizations to try to improve conditions in American society. They're concerned about a wide array of problems, urban more than rural, given the locale of most of the leaders of the movement, but they're concerned about all these issues that are deeply troubling American society. And so they create not just organizations, but what were called institutional churches. These were churches that tried to keep their doors open 24 hours a week, 7 days a week, provide a wide array of services and ministries to their congregants and local communities. So they would have things like kindergartens before the public schools had kindergartens. They would have savings banks because most banks wouldn't take people who only had small amounts to deposit there. They served as employment bureaus. They provided vocational training. They provided recreational opportunities. On and on the list goes. So all kinds of different ministries are flourishing in these churches, again, largely in bigger churches in urban areas. And together, these groups are attacking institutional arrangements in American society that make it difficult for lower class individuals to experience full opportunities. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. There are lots of explanations given for what brought about the social gospel movement. And I could list 8 or 10 of them, but the main one is that people, as they read the scriptures, they said, hey, this is what Jesus did. In addition to proclaiming the good news and talking about how to have a personal relationship with God through him, Jesus spent a lot of his ministry addressing issues of poverty and discrimination and healing people and confronting the religious establishment and working to lay a foundation for creating a society that is more just and equitable and provides greater opportunities for all. So the social gospel movement is following in the footsteps of Jesus along the lines of a couple of passages we mentioned earlier. And of course, you can throw in a lot of things from the book of Isaiah, Amos chapter 5, on and on the list goes. So by the 1940s and into the 1950s, the social gospel movement is not at its peak as it was in earlier periods of American history, but it's still very important, particularly in what we call mainline, mainstream Protestantism. And a lot of these churches have adopted basic tenets, basic ideas, basic strategies of the social gospel movement, and they're trying to carry them out in American society. And it's the heritage and the foundation of the social gospel that influences a lot of mainline pastors and even Jewish rabbis, Catholic priests, to get involved in the civil rights movement, to go and march, to demonstrate, to preach sermons, to write books, to speak out against social injustice. And again, my argument in the book is that Jackie Robinson fits very much in the middle of this, the context of this, very much influenced by this movement. He shares its basic principles. They help direct him in his Christian walk and in all the activities engaged in, from the integration of baseball to his post-baseball life activities.
Gary mentioned earlier about congregations that Jackie Robinson was a part of in his childhood, in his young adult years, his time in Pasadena, when he was with the Dodgers and after. Gary, you also write about baseball as a rallying point. How have Americans turned to Major League Baseball to bring healing during America's darkest moments?
Yeah, I spent some time in the first chapter talking about this particular issue, both the importance of Major League Baseball in American culture, again, largely before 1970. I mean, I think American baseball is still important, but it doesn't dominate the sports scene as it did in the earlier parts of the 20th century, as football, basketball, College football, a variety of other sports have become equally or even more popular with the American people. But that said, throughout American history, baseball has been very significant. The Star Spangled Banner emerged as our national anthem in part because baseball helped popularize it, first during World War I and then thereafter. During the wars, the two world wars, there was an argument that baseball needed to continue to prop up the American psyche. And a lot of Major League Baseball players went off and fought in the wars, particularly World War II, where over 500 Major League Baseball players fought, including some of its biggest stars like Ted Williams of the, since we're in Boston, the Boston Red Sox. The argument was, and FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, agreed with this, that baseball was very important to the American people. And as a way of helping motivate them, it was good to have baseball continued. And if you read any histories of World War II, you'll see that a lot of our GIs were following Major League Baseball while they were abroad as best they could during the war. I also make the case that in other times of crisis, like right after the 9/11 incident, Major League Baseball resumed after about a week's hiatus, and the World Series went on as scheduled, as again a way of providing some healing, some encouragement. Same thing during the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. There was a feeling that for the good of Americans' mental health, it was important to bring back baseball. And so they played one truncated season and then played a full season the next year. So at all those times and others in American history, baseball has been an antidote for whatever ails America.
Gary, when we talk about the sport, when we talk about Jackie Robinson himself, when we think about timing, when you situate, as you do so well, I mean, it's like we're being brought into a nest by you, a nest of history, and you contextualize the where we are today and the impact of Jackie Robinson. There's an opportunity for us to gain a certain level of inspiration just by listening. There's also the possibility of us gaining an uplift or a boost in an area of courage, particularly moral courage. So when we come back in our final segment, Gary, let's talk a little bit about how did Jackie Robinson's faith help supply moral courage and even ideological foundations for battling injustice. And of course, I don't want to forget, we must talk about his wife, Rachel, and her influence on his faith. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from Dr. Gary Scott Smith. I just love listening to this man. The wealth, the wellspring, the depth of what he brings to bear in a way that is captivating. And we're privileged to have him with us today. Gary Scott Smith is the author of the book Strength for the Fight, The Faith of Jackie Robinson. Amazon.com, get the book there. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.com. thegoodlife.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
The book is called Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson, published in 2022, written by Dr. Gary Scott Smith. Gary Scott Smith has also written Religion in the Oval Office, The Religious Lives of American Presidents, and Faith and the Presidency, from George Washington to George W. Bush, both published by Oxford University Press. Get these books and more. It's an array of sources that Gary Scott Smith provides. You can find out more and get these books at Amazon.com. Gary, how did Jackie Robinson's faith help supply moral courage as well as ideological foundations for battling injustice?
Well, of course, this is one of the reasons that the main title of the book is Strength for the Fight. Where did the strength come from for Jackie to be able to do what he did? He often felt like he had the entire weight of his race on his shoulders, that if he succeeded, it would open doors for African Americans to have opportunities, not just in sports, but in other areas of American society. If he failed, it would set back the black cause for decades, because people would say, oh, they just weren't capable. They just weren't able to do it. So we look at how much was on his shoulders at the time, the burden that he bore, what he felt. And then we look at the incredible amount of racism that continued to exist in American society and among baseball players. They took a poll in the early 1940s, and about 80% of baseball players, Major League Baseball players, said they were okay with playing with a with an African American. But in reality, many of them weren't so okay. And it was a challenge for Jackie to be accepted even among his own teammates. That took a while. He eventually won them over both by his personality and by his performance on the field. But at the same time, a lot of opponents taunted him from the dugout. Everything from and calling him pretty much every racial name-calling thing that they could. And fans would let black cats go on the field. They'd throw watermelons on the field. There was just a level of insult and attack that was incredible. And then countless death threats that he received, directed toward him, toward his wife Rachel, toward their son Jackie Jr. after he was born in 1946. So it took a great deal of moral courage to be able to do what he did. And that moral courage, again, came from a variety of places. It came from his belief that God had created him in his own image, that he had dignity and worth because of his relationship with God. It came from his single parent mother who helped nurture him in the faith and exuded moral courage herself. It came from other African Americans that he knew, including Carl Downs. And I tell a couple stories in the book about what Carl Downs did to respond to racial injustice. So all of that came together. Again, he credited God in numerous instances. He was court-martialed while he was in the Army during World War II because he refused to moved to the back of the bus 9 years before Rosa Parks had her experience that's much better known. But and I talk about that at length in the book. But in that instance and in countless others, he attributed his ability to do what he did to God assisting him, to God giving him the strength and, as you say, the moral courage to accomplish what he did.
Courageous man inspires courage. I remember Billy Graham saying, when a courageous man stands up, the spines of others are stiffened. In what ways did his wife, Jackie Robinson's wife, Rachel, influence him in his faith?
Well, I talk a fair amount about that in the book, and I don't know if listeners recognize that Rachel's still alive. She's 100 years old and has just recently been involved in the opening of the Jackie Robinson Museum in Lower Manhattan. So Rachel is... played a major role in Jackie's life in many ways. They share the faith. She grew up in an African Methodist, African Episcopal Methodist church, so a Black Methodist church in Los Angeles. She shared his commitment to Christ, raising their kids in the Christian faith. She was his rock. And in many instances, including his speech when he gave when he was inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962, he would typically credit three people who enabled him to do what he did: Branch Rickey, his mother Mally, and his wife Rachel. And Rachel stood by him in every way, shape, and form. They were a partnership. They were a team. Jackie's children, particularly their daughter Sharon, who's written a number of books about her dad, talks glowingly about her mother and how important her mother was to Jackie's success. And he just said very blatantly, "I couldn't have done it without her." And I think he's absolutely right. And then after his death, he died prematurely at age 53 in 1972. It'll be the 50th anniversary coming up here in late October. She basically became a crusader for his causes. She established a foundation in his name. She took over a construction company that he had started. She started plans toward this museum. The foundation has had a scholarship program for many years for African-American students to go to college. She was just, people have said, you know, she really should be in the Hall of Fame too, because Jackie wouldn't be there without her.
Gary, what message that would probably resonate through Rachel as well as you describe her, what message does Jackie Robinson offer to hurting people today in difficult times?
Well, I think their story is that if you have the right support system, if you have the right nurturing, if you have the right church family, if you have strong faith in God, you can do more than you might possibly think. Few of us will do anything as significant as Jackie and Rachel did. Few of us will be as great a role model as they have been, and in her case are. But they can inspire us in our own livelihoods and opportunities, vocations, churches, neighborhoods, parachurch organizations. They can help us to do maybe more than we think is possible, because against all odds, they succeeded in doing amazing things. And they did it because God strengthened them, God encouraged them, God gave them praying partners, God gave them mentors, God gave them strength. So I think that that's an example for all of us. And I think we can all derive strength from them, I actually preached a sermon at the church where I'm a parish associate in August called Be a Carl Downs. I spent the first half of the sermon talking about what Carl Downs did without mentioning Jackie Robinson specifically. And then I said, you've probably never heard of Carl Downs, but I bet you've heard of Jackie Robinson. And here's what Carl Downs' greatest legacy is. He helped Jackie Robinson come to faith. And I said, you know, we never know whose lives we're going to impact, whose lives we're going to influence, and what they're going to do. So while we may not make the history books, we may touch the life of someone else who does garner some headlines and is well known because of their accomplishments and their faith in Christ.
Gary, as we close today, would you say a prayer? We've got just a few moments, a prayer in view and in light of what you just said.
Sure. You want me to pray right now?
Yes.
Okay. Father, I thank you for Danny and his ministry at MIT, and I thank you for his radio shows and for his love of you and his commitment to you and the way he's touching hearts and lives in so many capacities in life. And we thank you for Jackie and Rachel, for the team that they constituted, for the lives that they touched, for the courage that they exuded, for the faith that they had in you, or in Rachel's case, still has. We thank you, Father, for loving your children, gifting your children, using your children. We thank you that we can look to exemplary lives, courageous lives that have so strongly impacted history, and we can take inspiration and encouragement for our own lives. Father, you want to work in and through us to do your will. You say that the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are too few. And may we be the people that go out into the harvest and reap what you have sowed, so that others would come to know you, come to love you, come to serve you, be experiencing the abundant life that Christ said he came to bring, and be prepared for eternal life with you in heaven. So we thank you that Jackie has gone on to be with you as we think about the 50th anniversary of his death. And we thank you for the opportunity to talk about his life today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Gary, on April 15th, every baseball season, everyone's wearing number 42, players, coaches, umpires, in one word. One word. How does that make you feel?
Fantastic. If you just want one word, I'll add a couple more. In 1997, Jackie Robinson's number 42 was the first number to be retired for all players on all teams in any of the four major North American sports. And in 2004, they began, as you say, to on the anniversary of his first game, April 15th, 1947, to have every player, every coach wear that number. It's a great testimony to him. It's unique in the annals of history of sports that this has been done, and certainly testifies to his significance.
Encouraging words from Gary Scott Smith, Amazon.com. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, visit drdanny.live. And I want to thank you in advance. Proverbs 19, verse 20, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Gary Scott Smith, Amazon.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, 9th Avenue Studio, and guest coordinator, Jan Yee, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.